Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 17. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, beginning in verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it be not once named, or let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." My subject this morning is verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want to basically speak concerning two things. One, redeeming the time. And then two, because the days are evil. May we pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love, and allowing us to assemble together as a New Testament church. We know it's only because of your presence and your power that we can do anything, especially as individuals and especially as a church. Now, Lord, this morning we call upon you and ask that you'd be pleased to bless us. We realize, Lord, that we have already spoken to you on behalf of many of these that are elderly, many that are infirm or sick, Lord, even some seemingly sick unto death. And Lord, you're aware of each one of these because you hold them in your hand. You're the giver of life and you're the taker of life. And so, Father, we pray that according to your will, that you would extend your mercy and love to these that we've requested prayer for. Then, Lord, we pray on behalf of those this morning that are here in this assembly that have never been saved by the grace of God. You know who they are, and Lord, in your purpose and plan, maybe even this morning there's one that you'll be bringing to the place of receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that even now, that as you're working upon their heart, enabling them, Lord, that they might recognize who they are and what they are and their need of Thee, that, Lord, that you are directing, and that you would bring them and grant to them repentance and faith. And then, Lord, that they would leave here proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Now, Father, we pray on behalf of each one of us that are here, that are gathered for the purpose to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, help us that we might put our hearts and our minds upon Thee, that we might not let the cares and the things of this world take our attention from Thy Word, and Lord, from being edified and built up in the faith. Now, Father, I pray that Your richest blessings would be upon us, and we wait upon You, and we ask that You'd forgive us of our sin. In Christ's name, I ask it all. Amen. Paul is admonishing the church at Ephesus to redeem the time. Now you can't change the times in which that we live. There's not anything that we can do about many things that are happening today in the time in which that we live. And it is not up to us to change many things that are happening, because God has ordained, or God has purposed for that to be so. But the thing that He draws our attention to, as those that have been saved by the grace of God and are members of one of the Lord's churches, like they were here at Ephesus, that we are to redeem the time. Now, in essence, what He's saying is, make good use of the time that God has given you. Now, that takes some discipline. That is a responsibility upon every one of us that are saved. And it really takes some discipline on our part. We, I believe, many times excuse ourselves from doing certain things and by saying that we do not have time. It is not that we do not have time. It is that we do not discipline our time or use our time wisely. Now, that's true of all of us. That's true of me. It's true of you. It's true of every one of us. Because through the years, I have pretty well found out that I usually make time for what I want to do. And if there's something that I'm really not interested in doing, then I usually do other things. Use my time for other things. But now what Paul is telling them here in redeeming the time, what he's talking about is to how that they are to live their life, every day of their life, every hour and every minute of their life. And really what he's doing is, all the way up to this 16th verse, he is mentioning some things that if they will do, then they will have redeemed the time that God has given them here in this life. Isn't it wonderful to be alive this morning? I mean, it is. Now, I realize some of us are not as live as others, but I know you understand that. But it's a wonderful thing just to be able to live. But it is even a greater blessing to be able, by the grace of God, and it's the only way you can, by the grace of God, to redeem the time. Apart from the grace of God, you'll not do it. Now, in redeeming the time, he starts right off, and the very first thing that he says to them is in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So, in redeeming the time, the first thing that has caught our attention is to follow God. Now, and not to follow the world. And he mentions many other things that we get sidetracked and we get off into, which occupies our time. And you know, I find that, I don't know how it is with y'all, I'm sure it's just the same way with you as with us, but as my wife and I, as we age, we don't get older, we age. it seems like, now there's just as much time as there ever was, but it seems like that it takes forever to do something. And scarcely can you get anything done. And I look back and I get to thinking sometime, and I look at some of these young people in our church that have, you know, one child, two child, three little Indians. I mean, you know, maybe they have three. And I say, how in the world do they ever get done what they do? And then somebody says, well, now, let's see now, how old are they? They are 20, are in their 20s or their 30s. And I realize that makes a difference, but there's just as much time as there ever was. And I realize and I believe that as we mature, that we ought to, by the grace of God, even be able to redeem the time. More so than we were able to when we were young. And so he starts right off and says, in this he says, be ye therefore followers of God. And then he says, as dear children. As the children of God, be followers of God. And when we are followers of God, and in things in life, when we're following God, what we're doing, we're redeeming the time. But then he also says, the second thing he says, walk in love. Now I realize there's enough strife and envy and hatred that the world is full, is filled with that. And God's people ought not to be caught up in those things. But sometimes we are. It's a distasteful thing, and it's really a shame. And sometimes, you know, when we are, we're ashamed of ourselves. We're ashamed of how that we react to a certain situation, or how that a circumstance causes us to act. And so, in redeeming the time, we're not only to be followers of God as dear children, but as redeeming the time, we're to walk in love. And look what he says in this. As Christ also hath loved us. Now look at the message that he gives us. Now Christ loved us enough that what did he do? He gave himself for us. And so, we are to walk in love, and our love ought to be as Christ's love, were that we would give ourselves for Christ. For look here in verse 2. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savior. And then he goes on and says, now, don't get caught up now in these sins of the world, these things of the world, but redeem the time. Don't spend your life caught up in either fornication or adultery or some of these things. And I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll ruin your life. It'll consume your life. Is what it'll do. And I believe that he is saying that now when you get caught up in those things, you're not redeeming the time. Because you see, when he got down to the end of that verse 3, he says, as becometh saints. In other words, let your life, or you redeem the time as a saint of God. And a saint of God is not to be entangled in the world and the things of the world, but a saint of God is to be busy in the things of God, following God. And when we do that, we can't get entangled. And we will not become entangled. So I believe that the time is that we need to redeem the time. He went on, and I believe there's another thing he said in redeeming the time. Now, I preached on the subject last Sunday about blaming God, and sometimes what we do, we let people influence us to the place that we get caught, we say, between a rock and a hard place, we say. Or we get caught in a bind. And so,
He said in redeeming time, don't do that.
For the third thing, look what he said in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Now, brethren, we're all subject to this. And this occurs often in our daily walk, in our daily life. And so, he's saying in redeeming the time, don't let somebody with vain words deceive you. And I realize and I know that, and sometimes what we do, we let somebody talk us into something that we ought not to be in. And we get involved in things that we ought not to be involved in. And when we do, we're not redeeming time. Now, the devil has the greatest way of getting you sidetracked from what you really ought to be doing. And all of us are subject to this. For look what he said here in verse 3 and 4. He said, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He said, be not ye therefore partakers with thee. And it's so easy to be influenced or to be talked in to something that you ought not to be in the first place. And every one of us have sometime or other been caught in that kind of a thing. And you know, we come away and we say, well, I let them influence me when I really shouldn't. I've let them talk me into something that I should have not really done. Now, the world knows how to do this. You know, all you got to do is meet a car salesman or somebody that sells insurance. Or somebody that's really, really been trained to do it and really will go through the routine. Or somebody selling vacuum cleaners. Or somebody doing this. The world really knows about this. And they just feel like that they can, if they can just give you this spiel. I know when we bought the van, I said, I don't want no sales pitch. I want the lowest dollar. Don't nothing else. I don't want to drive it. You know, they think they can just get you to drive it. That's the thing. Said, who in the world would buy a car that hadn't drove? Well, I expect it to drive good, you know. And I've driven others. And they think that they take you through step one, step two, and said, well, now I'll go talk to my boss and come back and see if it's all right with him. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey. But you know, the world knows. And the world knows exactly how to deceive you if you let them deceive you. And it goes on from that. I mean, I'm not down on car salesmen, because I have some friends that are good car salesmen, bless their hearts. Verse things like that. But other things that can happen, but I believe that what he's speaking of here, how that we should not let people influence us to walk in the world and not walk after God. And to be partakers of their evil deeds. But then another thing that he said here and redeeming the time is in verse 8. Walk as children of light. Now I believe that we find that he goes on and explains about this. And then another way to redeem the time is in verse 11. And have no fellowship. Now you're there, and have no fellowship. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove thee. And you know, fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness will lose your witness and testimony. It'll lose your power. You'll lose your power. You'll lose your power to pray. You'll lose your power to witness. And so, to redeem the time, we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But he said, but rather reprove them. And it's one thing not to have fellowship with them, that is, not to yoke up with them or have fellowship with them. And it's another thing to reprove them and to tell them that they are wrong. But then there's another way that we can redeem the time. And of course, that is in verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, wise by the grace of God, and wise according to the Word of God, and wise to the things of God. And so, these are the ways that we walk and that we redeem the time. And so, he goes through this and tells us, as a believer, how that we can redeem the time by walking and following God and reproving the works of darkness and having nothing to do with them and not being deceived and not being trapped by them. And so you say, why should we redeem the time? The answer is in that verse 16. Because the days are evil. Now I thought about, do you ever think, I know you do, I thought about Paul when he said this on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He was talking, first of all, about the day in which he lived. And he included the day in which he lived. He said to these saints at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, that local church at Ephesus, he said, redeem the time. That's what he was speaking to this church. He said, redeem the time. And he said, because the days are evil. What days? The days in which the Apostle Paul was living. The days right then. But that was not the full extent of that. If there was anybody that ever wrote and extended and talked about the various times under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he said, redeem the time because the days are evil. And he meant this to be used not only at the church of Ephesus, but every New Testament Baptist church that would ever be organized and would ever operate for the purpose of glorifying God. He meant for this to be used for all time. And so, you can come right along, and there's never been a time when that God's people were lessened any of responsibility of redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, even some places, he went on and made reference. Sometimes he would talk about perilous times shall come. Sometimes he would write and he would say, the last days. And we know that it not only included the time in which Paul was living and preached, but it included the day and the time in which we live and in which we preach. Now, we're to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, if you'll go with me to 1 Timothy, now hold your place here in Ephesians 5. Well, I think you can remember that verse. Redeem the time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I think that you can remember that. So you might have to turn back there. But in 1 Timothy and chapter 4, and notice with me, here in this fourth chapter, and in verse 1, 2 Timothy 4:1, and then I'm going to read, then I'm going to get 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, and this is what Paul was always emphasizing to Timothy. If you'll notice verse 1, 2, and 3, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. He said, for. Now look. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now there were some agnostics and various ones of that time that didn't want doctrine. But basically, in the days of Paul, when the Lord saved people, added them to one of the churches that he would preach to, those people wanted doctrine, they loved doctrine, they heard doctrine, and they practiced doctrine. This was not
so much of a problem as it is in the day in which that we live.
Now, there was a problem. You can go back and you look. But look what he said. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It amazes me. You find many religious people will just take so much preaching, and that's all they'll take. They're going to go somewhere else. Now, that amazes me. They'll tell you how religious they are, and they'll tell you what they believe, but they do not want to sit all the time under sound doctrine. As a matter of fact, I'll make it stronger than that. They are not going to sit all of the time under sound doctrine. And that's what Paul's talking about here. That's what he's saying. Brother Titus, he was telling us about it in the conference, and he said, you know, that through the years, a home church has been there a long time. Brother Titus has been there, I don't know, going on 30 years, their church. And he said, you know, people's left and they've gone other places, and they've been four or five places while they would, once they'd leave and go there. And you know, they'd go here and this wouldn't suit them and that wouldn't suit them. They'd move on somewhere else and go somewhere else. And he said that they would come around and they'd sort of say, well, you know, tell some of the people, said, one of these days we'll be back to home church. And he said, you know what they're really saying? When old Brother Titus leaves, we'll be back to home church. That's really what they're saying. That's really what it was. And so, but the whole idea is the sound doctrine. The whole idea is the things that are preached and the things that are practiced. And I tell you, religious people don't want the truth. It is people that have been saved by the grace of God and added to one of the Lord's churches, and it don't matter what the truth says, they want it. And they want to hear it, and that's what they want to practice. It. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, now notice, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You wonder about people, it's always church hopping. And so, you realize and know, now look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, redeeming the time because the days are evil. But look what he says here in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that is the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times. Now, Paul had said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And then he said, the Holy Spirit speaketh that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. It's one of the sad things to me is when that churches that we fellowship through the years, and then when they go away from the basic truths that we have believed and held and hold on to and hold dear, and they go away and they go into modernism and they go into various other things. And then it's a sad day that when preachers that you know that once taught and stood and preached the Word of God and stood for the oracles of God, and then they turn from that. It's a sad time. It's a sad day in which that we live. And so he said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed. Now what do they give heed to? It's just like I preached last Sunday. People are always blaming the Holy Spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit that leads you away from the truth. Now I can say this flat out. When anybody will go from a church that believes the truth and go to a church that does not stand for the truth and does not practice the truth, I can say emphatically the Holy Spirit did not lead them to do so. Now, they'll tell you that. And I have people all the time tell me how happy they are. Well, I know why they're happy. They're out from under sound doctrine. And that's why that they seemingly are happy. They feel like they're foot loose and fancy free. And they feel like there's no responsibility upon them whatsoever. Brother, we never get out from under the responsibility of truth. And we never get out from under the responsibility of redeeming the time because the days are evil. We never get out from under that. But he said, some depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's a question coming up in the forum. I mean, I'm not on the forum, but there's a question coming up in the forum, and they discuss sometimes, they discuss them with me and different things, and you know, they talk about all of these false religions and the various things that they do that are contrary to the Scripture, and it's going to be, is that of the devil? Well, that's what this verse says. And I don't know how they'll answer that. I'm going to be anxious to see how my brethren, how they smooth that over, how they are, some of them right around that. But anyway, it's going to be interesting. But he says here that when they do, some depart from the faith, and what they do is they give heed to seducing spirits. Now that's an evil spirit. Seducing spirits, an evil spirit, and doctrine of devils. And that means the devil is behind it. So the days are evil, and there is a departure from the faith. And there are Baptists, even today, that are departing from the faith. And some of the ways that they're departing from the faith is denying the Bible as the Word of God. Did you know I've noticed that it's getting harder and harder to find a King James Version of the Bible? I don't doubt that it's coming a day that we'll have to print them ourselves. You know, we'll have to copy them off ourselves. Because you can just about find any version you want now, but it's getting harder and harder. And all the catalogs and everything I look at and different things, it's harder and harder to find a King James Version. Now, you can still find them. Now, I realize you can still find them, but I'm talking about how we're being flooded with all of these other versions and these other translations. And the whole making behind that is to deny that the Bible is the Word of God. And we don't want it like it is. We want it changed. Is the whole making or the whole idea? And you remember that how the trouble I got into years ago when I preached on Good News for Modern Man and all that thing that I got into years ago when Southern Baptists were handing them out by the armloads. And you all remember how that I preached on the radio and they put me off one spot and tacked me on another one, and we went through a big rigmarole about that, and one of the preachers I had with me in revival, he said, "Well, we're not getting no attention. I'll go over here and throw a brick through the new paper office." I said, "Don't you do that." I said, "You're violating the law if you do that. Because the thing of it is," I said, "you're going to be gone. I got to live here. I got to live here." And another thing is that you're violating the law, though. You're violating the Word of God when you do that. And I thought about that. And so there is the denying the Bible as the Word of God. What do they sit around and argue about all the time? What church you sit around as to whether or not that the Bible, the Word of God, is printed inerrant, the inspired Word of God? They sit around and argue about that. And so, in essence, they're denying the faith. And then there is the denying of the virgin birth. Doing away with the virgin birth. And then there is a preaching of a social gospel. You know, that's where everybody, you know, is all right. Really, everybody ain't all right. Men are totally depraved, and sinners that die in sin will go to hell, and they need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they go around and preach a social gospel like they did there at the church at Galatia. He said another gospel, which is not the gospel. They're in Galatians 1, 6 through 7. And then there are those that deny the Lord's church, the truth of the church. See, when you want to believe something other than a local, visible body of baptized believers, then you don't have no responsibility. You can run all over the country. But if you believe in a local, visible body, and the Lord saves you and adds you to it, that's where your responsibility is. Is there in that church, and there in that location, and then that leads to denying the two ordinances, that leads to denying the two offices, that leads to denying the two judgments, and that leads to denying the two resurrections. And so, you come out, you don't believe much of anything. It's what it all comes down to. And so what he says is here, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So there is a departing from the faith. But then, look with me now in this scripture. Go to 2 Timothy and look with me. And there's no way that I'll be able to do all this morning because there's so much evil in the day in which we live, and there's always been that no way to cover it. But look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look with me there in verse 1 and verse 2.
This know also, that in the last days, now what perilous times shall come. Now what's the problem? What's it going to be like? Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own savors. What else? Covetous. You know, I want this and I want that, and I want what you've got and I want what they got. And then what else? Boasters. And then what else goes with that? Proud. And then what goes with that? Blasphemers. And then what goes with that? Disobedient to parents. Now, I'll tell you where we are. The devil is rapidly trying to deteriorate or destroy the family unit or the home. Now, here's what the devil wants. The devil wants everybody to think that men are beasts. Now, here's what can happen to you. Someone can falsely accuse you or accuse you, and you're guilty. Tell you what they'll do. They'll take your children away from you. One of the biggest crutches that's being used today in the courts is sexual abuse. There can be sexual abuse. Many times it is nothing more than a ploy of the devil. We know of a case where that the band director at Madison Central School at Richmond got accused with one of the band members. No sex involved. He only touched her. I don't know where, but he touched her. They fired him. Wouldn't listen to him. He can't even say anything. It's ruined him. It's ruined his family. It's ruined his income. And he's lost everything that he has. Now, I'm going to tell you, brethren, that's wrong. But the days are evil. Men are being portrayed as beasts. Not necessary. That's the way they're being portrayed. And the devil's doing that. And I wonder who it's going to happen to next. Don't ever be surprised what the devil will do. And then the thing that gets me is that if you've got a child, and if you've got a child, now I hug my child, and you know I get to work. Now I don't know whether to hug anybody or not. You know, they'll say, "Well, he touched me." And I thought, my, how terrible it is. What a terrible time. And this hobby horse has been rode by the devil. And it's going well. Being rode to the devil by the devil to the extreme. And then to caress or to hug your child is wrong, but then they can go be a lesbian. And that's all right. Or you can go be a homosexual, and that's okay. There's something wrong. There's something drastically wrong. And so what Paul is saying, and I believe that what he's trying to emphasize here at the church at Ephesus is that we need to redeem the time. And brother, we need to stand up. Stand up for the Lord. Stand up for what's right. We need to reprove these works of darkness. We need to reprove them. And so there is a day, and of course, the idea is here, and what's happening many times is that if there's discipline that's exercised by the parents, then what the child does, they are told by human resources, by at school, counselors at school, what they're told. Now what you do is get the law after your parents. You know what one teacher was told by
a little one said, "If you even touch me, I'll have my lawyer here in the morning." Now, who'd want to teach school in a mess like that? You can't teach school. Well, and the whole idea of the whole school system is it's going to humanism. And we're not going to have ABCs and arithmetic and all that talk eventually in the future. It's going to be taught what's right and what's wrong according to their standards. It's social things as to whether they're acceptable. Social attitudes as to what that is being taught. And I'll tell you, it fires me up. It makes me angry. It makes me mad. And then Borson will write a piece in the paper like he does, trying to encourage everybody to just care of the mess that we've got and everything going on. And people are so fooled and so foolish to believe all of that junk and all of that hogwash. And so what we find here is the whole outcome of this is disobedient to parents. This is the whole outcome of the whole idea. Tell you, I ask my grandchildren questions like this. I said, "Do they teach you these things in school?" They said, "Yeah, they tell us this. They tell us. So they tell us, you know, that you can consult human resources, or you can go to the lawyer, or you can do this or do that." And said, "If you know, if your parents, don't treat you right," said, "call the law." One of my granddaughters threatened her dad. I know my wife's going to kill me for telling this, but I'm going to tell you because it's true. I'm just trying to emphasize something. And so she said, "Wasn't going to get her way about something." "But I'll just call the law." He said, "You're a quarter." And then she said, "And here's another one. If you lose this one, here's another one." Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, and you parents and grandparents better wise up. Now, we've been scooted into that thing. And that's where we are now.
And I'm preaching. What I'm preaching needs to be preached.
People need to be warned. Disobedient parents, he says, unfaithful, unholy. He goes on and he says in this, and then if you'll notice as Paul goes on and what he expresses here in this passage of Scripture as to such a terrible time in which that we live, and he said for us that are saved, he said you better redeem the time. You better stand for God, and you better stand against all this evil, and you better stand against all this food.
I thought, well, it almost frightened you to the place to where that you're afraid to do anything. But I said, you can't get that way. You've got to live.
You've got to live. You've got to do the Lord's work. And you've got to serve the Lord. And you've got to redeem the time. And you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid all the time.
You just have to serve the Lord. So what there is a breakdown of our society. Our society is being totally broke down, and the way to destroy our society is to destroy the home.
And homes are being destroyed. The devil knows that.
Let me tell you. When do we have the greatest times of revival and the greatest times of rejoicing? It's when the husbands and wives in our homes are on good terms. It's when the children and the parents are on good terms. It's when there's a stirring in our families. And when that all breaks down, you can't come here and sit in the services and really worship the Lord if you and your husband or your wife are out, or you and your children are out, or if there's something going on, because there's something eating away and gnawing away at you, and it'll dampen the spirit, it'll kill the spirit. And the devil knows that.
And so
there is the breakdown. Now, this breakdown has been coming for a long time. I've seen it. I've seen it through our government and through our agencies and through our school systems. I've seen this coming for a long time and knew exactly what that it was coming to. And then so there is the breakdown of the home and the breakdown of the school. Our schools are shipwrecked. And then it comes to the breakdown of the Lord's church. And so what Paul said is, he said, redeem the time because the days are evil. But if you'll notice in 2 Timothy and in chapter 3, and this is something that I realize that that needs to be preached. He said, in verse 3, he said, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent fears. But then here's what it's brought out. Despisers of those that are good. Now, when people will refuse to talk to you because they know that you're on the Lord's side, then what that's saying is they are despisers of good. Is exactly what it is saying. And so any good today is despised, and that which is promoted is all that needs. That's what you're seeing. Brother, that's what's being promoted in the day in which that we live. So what are we to do? We're to redeem the time. To be followers of God. Not be deceived in these things. Not let people be guileless or be deceived. And to walk circumspectly. Not to partake in these things. And to reprove them. I thought, you know, through the years we've used this old crutch. Don't mix religion and politics. That's a crutch. That's a crutch. You know what people usually say that? They don't want to hear the truth. That's usually what it is. And the thing of it is, and the thing that I found out, in some of the framers of our Constitution, in which our Constitution is being pushed out the door, the First and Second Amendment is gone. As far as there, it's gone. Our Constitution is being literally wrecked or literally destroyed, and we're sitting by and letting it be wrecked and let it be destroyed, and then along with it, it's going to go all of our religious freedom and all of our religious rights.